Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph from the Beis, three lines from the bottom. V'kol ben chatzro and hoyled as azuva. Just a word of introduction to today's shir, which is going to happen many times. We know Divrei Hayomim speaks about the yichus of the genealogy of Klal Yisrael. And typically when we read those psukim, we understand them to mean that this is this one's father, this one's son, etc. However, it really represents much deeper than that. And it really represents many names could be attributed to the same individual. Son doesn't mean son. It can mean really the same person. It can mean a brother. It can mean a sister. It can mean a wife. Because what the names really represent, as the Mefarshim explain, is what the essence and what the characteristics of an individual is or are. And we know that people are multifaceted. And people come with many different angles to what they are and who they are. And therefore a pasuk could call the same individual with many names, recognizing that reality. Says the Gemara. The pasuk says, V'kol ben chetren, hoilet es azuva, isha, Vesirios, the Gemara is going to explain this pasuk. Veil b'nei Yosher v'shoiviv v'arden ben Chetzron. Ask the Gemara, ben Chetzron? Is Kalev's father Chetzron? We know, everybody knows that Kalev was Kalev ben Yefuna. So why is he called Kalev ben Yefuna if he was actually Kalev ben Chetzron? Answers the Gemara, ben Shepanamathus Meraglim. We know that Kalev was one of the people that went to investigate at Yisrael. And he didn't fall into the same trap as the Meraglim. And that's why it's called Yefuna. He turned away from their approach. Ask the Gemara, the Kati, ben Knasu. Isn't Kalev the son of Knas? The Ksiv, the Yilkadeh, Osniel ben Knas, Achi Kalev. So we see that Osniel was Kalev's brother, and Osniel was Knas' son. Answers the Gemara, Amarava, Chargad the Knasava. Kalev was Knas' stepson. He wasn't his real son. Dekanami, Diksiv, Haknizi. It doesn't say Benaknas, it says Haknizi. And this is the basis that I saw a tshuva from the Michas Yitzchak, where he's asked a question. There was a girl who was an adopted child, and she was never aware that she was adopted. She thought that they were her biological parents, and she became a Kala. And the Ksuba has to be written. And the Ksuba, when we write the Kala's name, we write the Kala in her father's name. And they were very concerned that if they would write that she was an adopted child, it would have very severe effect on this individual. And the Michas Yitzchak says that we can write her adopted parent name into the Ksuba, as our Gemara says that Kalev ben Yefuna is referred to as Haknizi, even though he was only a stepson of Knas. But the Michas Yitzchak goes on to say that it's important that when that is done, there should be some sort of indication that it's not a regular situation. And that if anyone were looking into that ksuba, they would see there's something irregular here that would cause them to evaluate really what is the true situation. And he brings a raya to that from our Gemara too. Because the Gemara says he wasn't called Ben Knas. He was called Aknizi. Usually it's called Ben Knas. He's not used the same word to show us, open your eyes, there's something different here. Azuva, the pasuk says that his wife was Azuva. Who is Azuva? Miriam. Ask the Gemara, V'lam nikrishma Azuva, why was she called Azuva? Sha'akla Azuva, everybody left her alone, mitchilasai. Because as we will learn, she was an ill woman, and people avoided her. Hailid, says the Gemara, she was his child, V'lay mintzvav nasivla, he was married to her. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Yochanan, Kol Anoisi Ish L'Shem Shemayim, if somebody marries a woman with a pure intent, Malalov Akosu Kili Yolda. It's considered as if she was born to him. And the Mefarshim explain, what does this mean? That it means as if she was born to him. The purpose of a woman is to have children and raise those children to be good children and to be a faithful spouse to a husband. All of that only happens after she gets married. So she only comes to her purpose when she gets married, and that's why it's called Kila Yolda. Yirios, Shoyepaneh Doimel Yirios. A face looked like curtains. And I saw two pshatim in the Mefarshim and really reflect the two phases of her life. Either Urias represents that she wasn't very good looking because she was ill, or Urias can mean that she was beautiful, like the Urias HaMishkun, which is after she got better. Vel ben Neho, these were her sons. Again, says the Gemara, Atik ben Neho by Neho. Because she really only had one child, Chur. So when the Pasuk mentions children, say to Mefarshim, it can't really mean children. It means by now her husband, Kalev, as we're learning, made her better, built her. Yosher, Kalev was called Yosher. She Yosher's Atzmai. He went straight. He didn't follow the path of the Meraglim. Shoviv, she Shivev es Yitzroi. He was able to prevail over his Yetzihara and not fall into the trap of the Meraglim. Va'arden shirodes Yetzroi. He prevailed over his Yetzihara. Vikadamri, I'll show you, Panea Doimel of Rad. Her face looked like a rose. So the number of pshatim in this. One pshat is, again, that Kalei was able to bring Miriam to a point that even though she wasn't so beautiful, she started looking like a rose. But another pshat that I saw, it's talking about him. That Kalev looked like a rose. He was a beautiful person. Particularly what it means to say, as we're going to learn in a moment, Kalev spent a lot of time fasting. And when a person fasts, he doesn't look so beautiful. Here, he was able to still remain good-looking, handsome, even though he was fasting. Also, the Mefarshim point out, from here we see that a person is supposed to get married, his intent should be L'shem Shemayim. And that's why Kalev, who was obviously a very great person, a leader in Kal Yisrael, certainly could have chosen any bride that he wanted. He took Miriam, because Miriam was a great woman, as we learned in the previous year, and we'll continue learning. She had very great brothers, Aaron and Moshe. The Gemara says, Hanois Isha Yivdik Ba'cheha, somebody gets married to check who the bride's brothers are. And that's what Kalev did. He didn't look at all the outside trappings. He looked at who the woman was. Ashkar, it's a Kalev. Again, refers to Kalev. Why was Kalev called Ashkar? Shehushkru panav betanis. He was constantly fasting to make sure that he wouldn't fall into the trap of the Meraglim. Avi shenas lo ka'av. He was like a father to Miriam in the way he treated her. So it's a beautiful pshat. The halach is, we learned Masechta Ksubas together, that if a husband marries a wife, if she gets sick, it's the husband's obligation to give her the medical attention she needs. But what's going to be the halacha if when a husband married a wife, she had already a pre-existing condition from before the marriage? That's the father's obligation. Miriam's condition was a pre-existing condition. So technically, Kalev was not responsible to take care of her. But what he did was Avi. He did the job of the father, and he did care for her pre-existing medical condition. Takua shetokas liba la'aviv shemayim. He was strong in his amun and yerushimayim. Hayushtei nashim. He had two wives. He only had one wife, Miriam. Says the Gemara, nas Miriam kishtei nashim. Miriam was like two wives. Chala v'nara. Says the Gemara, Loi chala v'nara hava. Her name was not chala, her name was not nara. Rather, el betchila chala. At the beginning, she was an ill woman. Ulbsaif, and after he gave it a proper attention, nara she became rejuvenated like a young girl. Ubnei chala, tzaras v'tzoyer v'esnan. Tzaras, when she became beautiful, she nasa tzara l'chavrseha. All of her, all the other women were jealous of her because she was so beautiful. Tsayar shayponeh don kutzrayim. Her face glowed like the noon. Esnan shakala roy oisa moilech esnan l'ishtay. Whoever saw would give a gift to his wife. Pasha pshat in the Gemara is because whoever saw her developed a desire to have relations with his wife. And how was he able to convince his wife to have relations? By giving her a gift. But then I saw a very interesting vart from Shlomo Kluger. Because Shlomo Kluger quotes a Gemara in Masechta Temura, that says that the Gemara says that whoever saw Miriam would get angry at his wife. What does it mean? So he says as follows: whoever saw Miriam became very jealous that he didn't have a wife as beautiful as her. So what did he do? He got angry. He got jealous. So when a person is jealous, he's not in the best mood, and he didn't treat his wife properly. Then he's sorry that he didn't treat his wife properly. So what do you do when you're sorry that you didn't treat your wife properly? You give her a gift. So he says both Gemaras compliment each other. They got angry out of jealousy, and then they had to give her a gift. So we go back to learning the parasha of Mitzrayim. It says the Gemara, "Vitzar Paro l'chol amai." Amar Rav Yosef b'Chanina, "Af al ama goza." Ultimately, Paroi made a gzeira that all children, all males, should be thrown into the yam, even the Mitzrim. Why? Because his sorcerers told him that we see that the Savior of Klal Yisrael is being born, and that the Savior of Klal Yisrael will have his downfall through water, which actually did happen, but not that water, the main Meriva. But they weren't able, because they didn't see when a Nevuah, to determine if he was Jewish or Mitzri, so he said everybody should go into the Yam. V'amar Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Sholosh Kseiros Gozar. There were three decrees that Paro made. B'tchila, he said, Ban hu imatin hasoi. Any boy should be killed. U'b'soif, kolaben ha'yil ha'yarat ha'shlechu. He said that all boys should be thrown into the sea. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Tzais. He says that there was a dialogue between Paroi and Yecheved and Miriam, or Yecheved and Elisheva. Paroi said to them, I told you that you should kill all the Jewish boys. And there's Dina de Machusa Dina. You have to follow what the rules of the land are. How are you ignoring, how are you violating the rule? So they responded to him that the halacha of Dina de Machusa Dina only applies, we've spoken about this, if everybody's treated equally. But if there's a rule that singles out Jews, then there's no rule, then there's no Dina de Machusa Dina. So the Yocheved and Miriam told Paroi, there's no Dina de Machusa Dina here, because you made a rule that only is to the Jews. So Paro had no choice, but Kolaben, everybody should be thrown into the Yor. I'm not singling out the Jews. This is a rule that has to be followed. V'soif af al ama goza. The Yelech Ishm Beis Levi. So the Pasuk says that Amram went. Asked the Gemara, Lahechen Halach, where did he go? Answered the Gemara, Amram Yehuda Ber Zvina, Shehalach Ba'atzas Pitoi. He followed the advice of his daughter. Tana, Amram Golador Haya. Amram was the Golador. Kivin Shegoza Para Rosha. Once Para made a decree, Kol HaBen HaYil HaYorot HaShlichua, every child should be thrown into the river. Amma L'shav Ani Melim. All our work is for nothing. That we're going to have children, and then they're going to be killed. So Mefarshim explained, we know that we say in the Haggadah, V'sa Meleinu Elu HaBonim. And if we have to kill our children, what kind of a life is this? Others say, Meleinu, for a father, for a parent, to have to put their child into the ocean, into the yam, there's nothing harder. Amaleinu represents hard work. What could be more difficult than doing that? So I saw the Mefarshim ask a very fundamental question. There's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says the Chizkiya got very ill. And Yeshaya comes to visit him. And they have a conversation. And Yeshaya says, you know why you're so ill? Because you refuse to get married and have children. So Chizkiya says, you know why I didn't get married and have children? Because I saw b'nevuah that my children will not be act properly. Menashe was a terrible Rasha. So Yeshaya tells him, "V'hadei kavshed rachmana lomaloch." It's not your job to know nevuah. There's a mitzvah for everybody to have children. It's your obligation to have children. So you have to have children. And God will do what He has to do. So the question is, so how come we don't have the same issue with Amram? Amram, how could he make a decree that everyone should get divorced? There's a mitzvah of getting married. There's a mitzvah of having children. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, he does. So one teretz is obvious teretz. This story with Amram is before Kabbalah Satayra. So there were no mitzvahs yet. Another teretz, the Mefarshim say, that Amram only said that people who were married and already had children should get divorced. Someone who indeed was not yet Mekayim, the mitzvah Pur Revu, he said, shouldn't get divorced. Amad the Girish Ishtai. So he went and divorced his wife. So first him asked, of course he divorced his wife. He made the rule. Doesn't the rule apply to him as much as to everyone else? So first him answered, as we're going to learn, Yocheved was 130 years old at that point. So Amram could have easily said, the rule doesn't apply to me, because it only applies to people who are going to have children. We're not going to have children. Still, Amad v'girishas ishtoi, he divorced his wife. Amdu kulam v'girishas nishashayim. So everybody divorced. So I saw a beautiful vort from Cheskel Levenstein. He says as follows. We see from here what Klal Yisrael is all about. This was before Kabbalah Satorah. This was still a Mitzrayim. But Klal Yisrael had already ingrained in them that they follow the lead of their Gedolei Yisrael. And if Amram decrees and divorces his wife, so they don't start making different explanations. Who's Amram? There's no Torah. The Gadol HaDor says something, they follow what the Gadol HaDor says. Amaloi, Bitoi, so his daughter tells him, Abba Kosha Yigzaroscha Yosem Shaparoi. Your decree is even worse than Paroi. Shaparoi Loi Goza El Zachar. Paroi's decree is only on the male children. Vata Gzata El Zachar and Valen the Kavis. Your decree applies to both males and females. Paroi Loi Goza El Balam Hazer. Your Gzera is only in this world. Vata Balam Hazer El Alam Haba. So I saw two Pshatim in this Gemara. Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that every child that's born, if after he dies, goes to Olam Haba. But if he was never born, he can never go to Olam Haba. If you're going to prevent the people from having children, those children will lose the opportunity to go to Olam Haba. Another pshat is, how does a parent get Olam Haba? Makes a lot of sense. It's because he has children. So he already has, in this world, plenty. So that's how he gets Olam Haba. If you're not going to have children, they're not going to have Olam Haba. You're preventing the parents from having Olam Haba. Para de Russia, Sofim Skayemis Kazarasoi, Sofik Enem Skemis. We don't know if what he says will be fulfilled. Ata Tzadik Bavada Shikazaraskim Kayemis. Your decree will certainly be fulfilled. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says regarding the decrees of Tzadikim, the Tigzer Oim of Yakimloch. Tzadik Geyser HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Omed Vehichser Sishtoi, so he took back his wife. Om the Kulim Vehichser Sishtoi, so everybody took back their wives. Vyikach, so that's what Yikach means, that he got remarried to Yechevet. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Pasuk means, so it shouldn't say Vayikach, it should say Vayachs Nebo'ilei. Amar Yehuda Basvina, Sha'osoloi Mais Lekuchim. They made a big wedding. Hashiva Perion, they made a chuppah. The Aryan and Miriam Miraktim Lefanao. Aryan and Miriam were dancing by the wedding. Omlache Yesharos Amru Eim Habonim Semecha. So Mepharshim explained, why did he make such a big wedding? Particularly if you take back your wife, you usually don't make a big wedding. So they explained two pshatim. One is, he wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that the decree was nullified. How will the message get out? If there'll be a big wedding, and they see that Amram took back his wife, they'll all get remarried. Another pshat is that Amram was married to Yocheved. Yocheved was Amram's aunt. After the Torah was given, he would not be allowed to marry her. Oh, it's an erva. But he was taking her and saying, I'm allowed to marry her because it's before Kabbalah Satorah. The Gemara says, Masechta Babasra, they sang Aim, Habar Smecha. Aim stands for Aaron and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam were the ones that were dancing. Why were they saying Aim Habar Smecha? Because as we're going to learn in a moment, Yocheved was 130 years old. Gval de Ganes, that she had child, Moshe, at that age. So the simcha of the wedding was much greater to Yocheved than it was to Amram. And that's why Aim Habonim, she had the main simcha. Said the Gemara, he married Asbas Levi. Asked the Gemara, Efshe Bas Mevi Shloish Mishana, she's 130 years old, the Karlei Bas. So the Farshim explained. First of all, Bas Levi seems to indicate that she didn't have any of her own merit. She's, her whole greatness is that she's Levi's daughter. Is that her greatness? We just finished learning yesterday how great Yocheved was. She was prepared to be Maisa Nefesh for the Jewish children. So her whole yichus is that she's Levi's daughter? That's one question. That's one way of explaining the question. Another way of explaining the question, we know in Pirkei Avos, it says, Ben Bagbag, Ben Hei Hei. And most other Tanoim are mentioned by their name. Why are these Tanoim only mentioned Ben Bagbag and Ben Hei Hei, and the other ones are mentioned by their name? So Mepharshim explained, because they were still young, and when they're young, they don't really have any of their own credentials. But she's 130 years old. So she certainly has her own credentials. So why is she being called Bas Levi? And another pshat is that we find the Nach, when it's like more of a derogatory way of addressing a person, by calling him Bas Levi, Ben Yishai. Yocheved was a very important, special woman. Dom Rav Chaim Bar Chanina, Zu Yocheved, Shairasa B'Kedusha, Shairasa B'Derech, she was conceived as Klal Yisrael were traveling to Mitzrayim, V'Leidos Ben Achayim, but she was born as they were entering. Mefarshim asked, how could Rav Levi had relations with his wife at that time? The halach is that when the world is Betzar, you're not supposed to have relations with your wife. And that was a time of hunger. So how could they have relations? So the simple teretz, like we said before, is before Matan Torah. Another teretz is that if one was not yet Mekayim the Mitzvah Pur Revu, even in bad times, you're allowed to have relations with your wife. Levi didn't have any daughters. So that's why he was continuing to try to have children to have a daughter. Another pshat is that we know that really for the children of Yaakov and Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael, they didn't really suffer from the hunger. Rashi says that Yaakov said, Lama Tisrael, the world shouldn't think that we have it good, but they really had it good, so it wasn't time of tzar for them. Another teretz, we'll say one more teretz, we'll leave with that, is that when is the halacha that during bad times you're not allowed to have relations with your wife? When the end is not in sight. When the end is in sight. So you know, the sorrows will end and then you can resume having relations. They didn't know when this would end. And therefore, they were allowed to have relations. Shinemar, Ashiol Daisa Leleva b'Mitzrayim, Leidosa b'Mitzrayim, Vein HaRosa b'Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, but she was not conceived in Mitzrayim, she was conceived on the road. Ask the Mefarshim, why was it exactly this way, that she was conceived in the last moment, born in the last moment? So I saw two terutz. One terutz says, we know that Yaakov entered Mitzrayim with 70 family members. What's the number 70? Because the 70 members of Klal Yisrael correspond to the Ayin Umais. As long as Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, they only needed to have 69 family members. Because in Eretz Yisrael we have the Shechina. The Shechina is number 70. But now they were entering Mitzrayim. They no longer had the Shechina. We don't have the Shechina with us in the same level in Chutz Laretz as we do in Eretz Yisrael. So they had to have number 70, Yocheved. Another teretz is that they needed the number 70, as we just explained. But we also needed that Yocheved should have Moshe Rabbeinu, So it came out perfectly that she should be born right before, but we wanted her born the last moment to make the nes of her being so old and having children the smallest nes possible. If she would have been born earlier, then she would have been even older than when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. There's no need to make a greater nes than necessary. Amar Yehuda, Shanol de Bas Simon and Naris. So says the Gemara, so now we're back to the original question. How do we call a Bas Levi? She's the great Yocheved, because she became young again to have children, Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rishayim already asked, such an unbelievable nes. A 130-year-old woman is having children. The Torah makes a whole issue out of Sarah, who was 90, having this child. Here Yocheved is 130, and the Torah doesn't say it. Why not? So the simple teretz is a very important teretz. The Torah is not a storybook. It's not a history book. And whatever the Torah needs to tell us, because it feels it needs to be written, is written, that doesn't mean every nes that happened is in the Torah. And this nes, the Torah did not feel needs to be written, so it's not there. Another teretz that I saw is that once there was already a nes with Sarah, that she was a woman who's 90 years old and has a child, then in future generation, an older person having a child is not such a great nes. She, so to speak, paved the way. Another teretz that I saw is that Mitzrayim, we know, was a place where there was a tremendous multiplication of Jewish children. She should be keres echad. So that a woman who's 130 years old, of course normally having children at that age, is highly, highly irregular. In Mitzrayim it wasn't such a big nes. And that's why the Torah doesn't mention it. Says the Gemara. V'tara hisha, v'tel it ben. Says the Gemara, v'avimab v'ayi tlach tzliach mikara. She's already pregnant 3 months prior. Amar Yehuda b'zvina, magdish lo yodos lohi rosa. The Torah is teaching us, her childbirth was similar to the conception. My rosa shlo b'tzar. Conception doesn't involve any pain. Af lo yodos shlo b'tzar. Mikan, v'noshim tzidkonius shlo yodhizka shlchava. Noshim tzidkonius aren't under the curse that Chava received, the Be'etz of Tel Dibonim. Ask the Mefarshim, if that's true, why do we find that Rivka and Rachel had pain when they had childbirth? We said the Noshim Tzidkanias don't have pain. So the Mefarshim answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make a double nace. These women were Akaris. So there's already a nace that they're having children. So to make a double nace, that they should have children, and also without pain, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do. But then I saw Gevaldik Akasha. Here we're saying that if somebody's a tzaddik, he's not under the curse of Chava. So that means if a man is a tzaddik, he shouldn't be under the curse of Adam. So why do tzaddikim die? So Mefarshim explained there's a very fundamental difference between death and having children with pain, with labor pain. Death is the way the world works. That's part of life. Part of life is death. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam a bracha, that he won't die. That bracha was only there until Adam did the Avera. Once Adam did the Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed the bracha. However, having children with pain is just the opposite. There's not supposed to be any child bearing pain. There's a klala, and a person who does a tzedekis isn't under that klala. Continues the Gemara, V'taroi se ketoifu, Tanya Remeya oimet toif shemai. His name was Toif. Rav Yehuda Omer, Tov Yishmai. Rav Nechemya Omer, Hagen L'Nevius. Why was he called Toif? Because he was a person that would be worthwhile to be a Navi. Acherim Omerim, Noilad Kishumol. He was born already Gemalot. Why was he born Gemalot? So some Farshim explain. A person without a meal is missing. He's not complete. Toif represents completion, perfect. That's why we know the pasuk says, "V'yoyim Hashlish," on the third day of creation, it says "Ki Toiv" twice, because then things came to a completion. He was born complete already with the Mila, and since he was already born complete with the Mila, that's why he was called Toiv, and that's why the Avudram says, "By a bris Mila, we say the pasuk, Hoidu Lashem Ki Toiv," because when a person is Gemalot, he's Toif. Another chat that I saw was that Amram, the rest of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim did not do Mila on their children. Only Shevet Levi. Now Amram had a challenge. They wanted to keep, as we're going to learn, Moshe's Rabbeinu's birth quiet. On the other hand, a Mila is supposed to have at least a minyan. So what's going to happen? He had a nes. Moshe Rabbeinu was born with the Mila. So they didn't have to make a fancy bris mila, and they were able to keep his birth quiet. However, say to Mefarshim, it's interesting to note that when Klal Yisrael went to war with Amalek, who led the battle? Yeshua, not Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're learning now, was already born with a mila. Only somebody who went through the bris mila has that schutz that he could fight against Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as he was, I don't have to tell you how great Moshe Rabbeinu was, since he never underwent the bris mila, he couldn't be the one leading Klal Yisrael in battle against the Amalek. V'cham Omrim, b'shar shenola Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, nesmal abayis kol or. The whole house was full of light. K'siv achav t'rayis k'toivu, k'siv hasav yarol kim es or k'toiv. V'tetzmenei shlosh yirachem, so you chevid hid Moshe for 3 months, the Loimanu Mitzrayim El Meshod Hadra. They weren't aware that she was already pregnant for 3 months prior to Amram and Yecheved getting remarried. V'yavis Ma'abrabas Tulsi Yochem Mekara. She was already pregnant for 3 months. V'loyochel Oid Hitzpinoi, but she could no longer hide him. Amai asked the Gemara, why not Titzpin of a Tazel? Why didn't she continue hiding him? Says the Gemara, Akol Hechad Avisham Mitzrayim, the Messiah of Yenuka. Wherever the Mitzrayim thought there was a child born, Mamta Yenuka Chasam, they would bring another child there, and the Kehecha Dlam Shnini Umavi. What happens is, if one child, a baby, hears another baby crying, it will start crying. So the midstream had a trick. They used to bring little babies, midstream babies, to the house, pinch them, get the midstream baby to cry, and then the Jewish baby who's being hidden would also cry. The ksiv, echsulana shulam shulam ketanim, little faxes, these midstream babies were already doing the shtick. V'tikach loitevis goyma, maishna goyma, why did she take goyma? Why didn't she take wood? Amar b'lazim ikan tzadikim, shememanim chavalayim yosim agufim. Wood is more expensive than reed. So she didn't want to spend money on wood. They don't steal. And since they don't steal, they don't have a lot of money. They only get money in an honest way. And therefore she didn't want to spend money on wood. So it's obviously a very difficult Gemara. Her son, Moshe Rabbeinu, Kitoivu, she's so happy with this child. So she's trying to save money. So Farshim say that she was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save this child. He will be a tzaddik. He will be a person that will not steal, and therefore save him. What is pshat that they don't steal? It's much deeper than Mepharshim say. It's not just that they don't steal. You don't have to be a tzaddik not to steal. A tzaddik recognizes that whatever he has, even that he earned honestly, is not money that really belongs to him. It was given to him by Hashem to do the right thing with the money. And therefore they're so careful where they spend the money. She specifically made a reed wicker basket. So it should be soft. Wood would crack if it would bump into a stone. Wicker is much more flexible. She coated it with tar and clay. Clay was inside, tar was outside, because tar has a bad smell. She shouldn't have to suffer that bad odor. She was put in the Yamsuf. Agam. She was put in a swamp. She went to take a bath. She went to bathe herself. She wanted to be Megayer. The Cain, who Omer, Emrechetz Hashem as Tzoyas Benat Zion. So how do we know she wanted to be Megayer? So firstly, the Mepharshim said, because if all she meant to do was to bathe in the river, it should say, V'tel Lirchetz B'yor. What does it say? Al Hayor. It must be that she was taking the Yor, the Nilus, which was there of Avodah Zarah, and she was washing it off herself. Another pshat, we know that the Nilus was there of Avodah Zarah. So how could she go and bathe herself, undress and bathe herself in the Avodah Zarah? It must be that she was rejecting the Nilus from being the Avodah Zarah. But then the Mepharshim asked, if she was going to be Megayer, you need a Bezdin for Giyur. There was no Bezdin. So Mepharshim said, before Kabbalah Satayra, we were all not really full-fledged Jews. And all that was required was that a person should accept upon themselves the yoke of Hashem and go to the mikveh, because the halacha really is that even a Baal Tshuva, who's a born Jew, when he accepts upon himself to do tshuva, should also go to the mikveh. And therefore, that was the point of this event. Her servants were going to die. Because her servants were trying to convince her not to save Moshe, not to be Megayer, so they died. The Teres HaTeva B'Toch HaSof. Kivin the Kachoza, Bel Utsul Moshe. As soon as she saw, she wanted to save him. Amala, so her servants told her, give her Tenu. Min Hagim Shloilem, Melch Bas V'dam, if a king goes Gzera, Im Kol Olam Kula Im Kaim Asai, even if the rest of the world ignores his rules, Bonav Bnei Baisai, his family, Mekaim Asai, at least they follow the rules. Va'at Averis Agzeres Avicha, and you're going to go against what your father said, that save this Jewish child, Bar Gavriel, V'chofta Mekarka. He killed him. V'tishlach Asa Mosa, V'tikucha, so she took out a Mosa, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemya. Chara Meyada, once that it was a muscle means a hand, the charama shivchasa. It was her servant. Manda miyada, the ksiv, a muscle. What does it say? If meant a shivcha, It should mean, it should say shivcha. The fact that it says a masa must be the hand. If it meant the hand, it should say the hand. Ask the Gemara, according to the mandam that she sent her servant to pick up this child, then we just learned that Gavriel killed all those servants. So where does she have a servant to take care of her? Says the Gemara, even if he killed all the servants, he left over one. The lav arich, it's not respectful, the bas melka lemekin l'chuda. The one, she should be left with nobody attending her. So he killed all of them besides one. Or ask the Gemara, l'man dama yoda, licht of yoda, if it was her hand, and that's what the Torah means, say it, answers the Gemara, k'mash melon, der shtarvi eshtuvif. Her hand stretched out to be much longer. So it's a gevaldig avart from the Kotzker. Obviously, this child in the box is deep in the water. Her hand can't reach. So what's she doing? Am I reaching, stretching out my hand to something that I know is much further from my hand? What was she doing? Says the Kotzker, it's our obligation to always try. We should never say, give up. I can't do it. We have to try. And then we'll see what happens. That was her attitude. She stuck out her hand. Can't reach. She did what she can. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu helped that she could reach. Damamar. The Kenat the Maitzah about Moshe Shabbas Paroi. The Kenat the Maitzah B'Shinu Rishoyim. We find another place where something was elongated. The Ksiv, Shene Rishoyim Shibarta. Vamre Shlokish Atikri Shibarta. El Shirivavta. What does this mean? Oig Melech HaBoshin wanted to kill Klal Yisrael. And he thought he had the schusim, because he had helped Avram Avinu. So we know he was huge. So he picked up this huge mountain to carry and just put down over the camp of Klal Yisrael and crushed them all. As he's carrying the mountain, it came down and his teeth got longer and they got and the mountain got locked into over his head and he suffocated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the teeth longer. The Tiftach v'Tireyu Yelet. Ask the Mara v'Tayrim v'Bailei. What's the Tireyu? Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Shirasa Shechina Ima. She saw that this was a special child. The Shechina is there. V'Nar Boicha. Ask the Gemara. Karle Yalad, the Karle Nar. Was he a child or a young man? Tana, who Yalad? He was a child, he was a baby. However, the Karle Kanar, Divrei Rav Yehuda. He had the voice of a Nar. Amalei Rav Yehuda, Imkein Asisul Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum, you're turning him to Balmum, that he's a child and he speaks like a adult. So some Mefarshim want to point out from here that about a Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, who has a bad voice, is a posel, he's a Balmum, he can't sing. Others disagree and say that certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, as a Levi, whatever voice you have, that's what you sing with. And they say, anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu's family weren't the Mishayurim. They were the Shayarim. They worked at the gates. You don't need a good voice for the gate. The point is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a member of the Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. And a Navi or a member of Sanhedrin has to be somebody who's perfect. Ask the Ran, but we do know Moshe Rabbeinu had speaking problems. The Pasuk says that he was a Kfar Ped, Kfar Loshen. Answers the Ran. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him a Kfar Peh and Kfar Loshen, there was a very specific reason. That, what was the reason? That to show that it has nothing to do with speaking ability. Who HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses, that's the person. But why do you make him have a bad voice? Ella, what does it mean? Malamish Oslo Chupas Nurim. In that box, the mother made like a canopy. Beteva. Oma Shemalai Eska V'chupasai. Maybe I won't ever see his chuppah because I won't survive. The Tachmal Olav, the Taima Miyaldi Avrimza, says the Gemara Menor Yoda, Amr Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Shirasa Isamol. She saw they had a Mila. And like the Mefarshim explained, even though as we learned on Amr Aleph, he really was born with a Mila. She didn't know that. She thought that he had a regular bris Mila. Amr Rav Yosef, Amr Rav Yosef Malam Shinasnaba, Shlemidata. She said Navul without even knowing, Zeh Neufel, Ven Achon Neufel. Only this child will be the only child thrown into the river, no other child. It if you will be told, Dilshal obviously Yidayim, all sorts of stipulation, Hamtzavtz v'mahagim, Soif v'an Yidayim matzoifim, they see but they don't know what they're seeing, Mahagim they speak, v'an Yidayim matmahagim. Rosh Mishir Shisro b'mayim mulaka. They saw that the Savior of Klal Yisrael will have a downfall through water. And therefore, Amdu v'gazu kol ha-ben ha-yoylet ha-yila yoylet ha-shlechua. All children should be thrown into the river. Kivin the shadyu la-Moshe. Once Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the river, su la-chazina ke-usumana. They said, he's been thrown into the river. And therefore, batal g'zirithayu, so they nullified the decree. However, v'hein en yoydim, they didn't understand that that whole sight that they saw was a mei meriva hu-loika. What's Hema those? Hema Shiroat Tagniu Parabatol. They already had seen it and made a mistake because of it, thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu's downfall would be being thrown in the river, but that wasn't it. Van in the common Moshe, Sheshmeis Elfragli, Amr la Moshe Yisrael, Bishvili Nischa Nigaltim Kulam. All of you were saved because of me, because after I was thrown into the river, Paroi nullified his degree, and no other children were ever thrown into the river. Rechanina, Bapapama, Oisayoyim, the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the river, Esrim Vechav in Nisan, he was 21 days in Nisan. Omer Malach HaShos Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mi She'os Loi Mashira Al Hayam Oisayoyim, Chof Alef Nisan is Shvi Shel Pesach. And that was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu said Shira. Yilke b'yoyim zeh. Rav Ach b'chanina amma. Ois ha-yoyim shishi b'sivin ha-yoyim. It was 6 days in Sivan, the day of Shavuos. Omer lai macha shoros lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'yoyim shloilem. Mi shosel kabel Torah mehasinai b'yoyim zeh. The person that's going to receive the Torah on this day. Yilke b'yoyim zeh. And the Gra explains, what's the machlaikas? The machlaikas is, what's more important? Davening or learning? The mandam that says Chof Alev Nisan holds davening is more important. And the mandam that says Vav Sivan holds learning more important. Says the Gemara, Bishlo l'mandam b'sisa b'sivan, according to the Mamma that this story happened 6 days in Sivan, Mishkach lo gircha yamin. We could understand what we learned that he was 3 months old. Damamar, we all know, b'shiv ba'adar meis, Moshe Rabbeinu was died in Zayin ba'adar, or b'shiv ba'adar noyle Moshe, and in 7 days in Adar he was born. And therefore, b'shiv ba'adar, that shish b'sivan, t'las yachi, this 3 months. However, ask the Mara, Lamandam Vesav in Nisan, that this happened in 21 days in Nisan, Hechem Shkach Sloy, how was the 3 months from Zion Adar? Answers the Gemara, Oysa Shana Muberis Haisa. It was a Shana Muberis. So there were two Adars. So there was Rubishal Rishon, he was born in Zion Adar Rishon, Rubishal Achron, 21 days in Nisan, Vemtsoy Shalim, and a whole middle month, Adar Sheni. So Mefarshim ask, if there were, why did she not wait 3 full months? Why did she only take most of the first month, most of the last month, and the whole middle month? She should have waited at least the whole 3 months. So Mefarshim answer, beautiful teretz. Yuchevet said, I'd rather put Moshe into the Yamsuf when he's less than 3 months old, where he could wait still more days. But Chof Alef Nisan has such a gewaldige schus. It's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say to Shira, that schus I want to help him.